This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the help that we have received thus far. We pray that even as we are going into Supernatural Clinic, we pray for abundance of help again. We pray that you help every one of us to be properly attuned. We pray that this mind that you want to impart in us, O God, it will be profitable even as we enter this meeting in the name of Jesus. Pray that you would alert our hearts, you open our ears, you make us quick and sensitive to hear your words. Pray that you help me with utterance even this morning. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Without taking much time again, we are going to continue in our series, Maintaining the Spirit-Filled Life, Cultivating Nature of Love, and Bearing Fruit of the Spirit. And we are in lesson 4. The topic for today, I want us to echo it together. Can we see the Spirit-Filled Life Culture? So we are looking at the culture that a Spirit-Filled person must develop to ensure that he is constantly maintaining and sustaining the Spirit-Filled Life. Quickly, let's read our text, Ephesians 5. Just 7-21. 1-2-go. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. I want to quickly look at the following objectives. We want to exalt obedience as a lifestyle of a Spirit-filled believer and to show the mannerism of such obedience. I also want to elevate subjection to the Spirit as a way of life of a Spirit-filled believer. Now, going quickly to the introduction. The Spirit-filled life interrupts and interjects the fleshly patterns, arrangements and behaviors of anyone who truly engages the Spirit. The believer's soul, shaped by the influences of this world and flesh and corruption, is disrupted and restructured by the power of the Spirit-filled life. This lifestyle is potent enough to break apart and detonate the soul's entrenched frameworks, reaching even into the depths of emotions, desires, and feelings. By reason of constant interaction and use, the soul's friendship with the world, the flesh, and corruption has rendered it hardened and resistant to God and all that he stands for. This makes it necessary for a believer to be filled with the Spirit, for the Spirit to tenderize the soul, making it malleable and flexible to engage with God. When genuine lack does not back the Spirit-filled lifestyle of a believer, spookiness and eccentric behavior becomes inevitable, eventually leading the believer into seeking familiar spirits that can mimic the Holy Ghost's voice, attitude and character. Yet, without the true power of transformation, at that point, the practice becomes a mere ritual, reduced to showmanship rather than authentic spiritual life. Lastly, in the introduction, the spirit-textured lifestyle engaged by the spirit-filled believer is patterned after God, that's godliness, and should generate power for nature cultivation and formation, making fruit-bearing possible. A spirit-filled life without continuous repentance and obedience is merely a form of godliness without the power of true change. What this introduction is making us to see is that primarily, what we call flesh is a strong culture. Flesh is a culture. And what you call culture is basically the way of life of a person. And you know, the way flesh is tightly formed in every man. When I mean tightly formed in every man, the book of Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 1, talking about the sin of Judah. He said, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their hearts and upon the horns of your altar. So when you're talking about the sin of Judah, they said that the writing of sin upon the heart is by the instrumentality of what they called iron. Iron is known for its strength and its coercive force. Iron is strong. In that tattoo that Nebuchadnezzar saw, he had leg of what? Iron, right? Iron characterizes strength. Mean that the wisdom that wrote sin into man, when they say pen of iron, they are not characterizing the casing of the iron. Pen of iron means that the ink in that pen is iron. So as you are engraving upon your heart, what is being written is iron. So to remove iron from the heart is a very difficult thing to do. Funny enough, it's not only iron they used to write. They also use diamond. Diamond is the strongest natural element that ever occurs in the natural earth today. Diamond is very strong. What we break iron is not what we break diamond. You need a stronger force to break diamond. What we break iron is also strong, but it's not as strong as what you break diamond. So they were just showing us the nature of what was written in the heart of man. So when you say a man is hard-hearted or a heart has been hardened, you know that what is doing this job is because of the element that has written into the heart. So iron is strong, diamond is stronger. So heaven must begin to introduce things that can begin to break up these things in the heart of a man. See, if we don't have the intervention of spirit-filled life, a man can continue his entirety, his whole life on earth, and his soul will never be delivered from those substances. Because it's not something a man can naturally deliver himself from. Because where they wrote upon the heart. Say, my heart. My heart has enjoyed former writings. And it just made me to see that Satan did a very terrible work in every man. And how you can tell the work of a man is by the person. The person that did that work, they called him perfect in beauty. So imagine the kind of work that he did. He did not do a shabby work in the soul of any man. That man that you see walking on the street, somebody sat down on his case and did a thorough job in his soul. That thorough job is to ensure that anything that God wants to do to break in can be resisted. And that man will not even know that somebody has done a work in his heart. Now that is why we must be people that we are desirous and intentional about the spirit-filled life, because that is where deliverance is. Deliverance is in the spirit. Every other place, we will keep on carrying what has been written in our hearts, and it will never be broken. The enemy does not mind you trying different methods. The person that wrote flesh is a spirit. Flesh is a written template of a spirit being to keep a man perpetually in bondage and in darkness. So there must be introduction of something higher than that to deal with flesh. You know, when you see certain movies, you will see how a villain appears. That's the bad guy of the movie.
And the bad guy of the movie, when you see him, you don't like him. You're like, this guy is just spoiling things, killing people. But of recent, I saw another dimension to that movie. They will now take you to his background to now show you his story from the start to justify how he became what he became. By the time you follow his story, you will begin to have a soft heart for him. When you don't know how he was formed, you'll be angry. Why are you doing this? But when you see that before his very eyes, some certain people came to kill his father and mother. Before his very eyes, some certain people did some wicked things to him that turned him into who he was. You begin to have a soft spot for that guy. And like, oh no, life happened to this guy. So that villain, because you did not know where he was coming from, you were angry. But when they introduced you to his story, your heart melted a bit. So because you began to see that, oh, he really went through a whole lot before he arrived at this point. You even see his struggles. He tried not to become what he became. But eventually, he turned up like that. Then they show you another person called the superhero that everybody naturally likes, right? But you know, with flesh, both the villain and the superhero are still in flesh. So I'm just trying to say that a person can take up a role of an activist against a particular thing, but it does not make him less exempted from flesh than the person perpetrating it. It's still flesh. So there are certain problems that flesh has caused, and flesh is bringing solutions, but both of them are still under the category of flesh. When you look at the right for women that has been trending all over, it began from somewhere. Certain fathers, certain men began to do certain things that brought about certain reactions. Now, what we are now bringing in to solve that solution is as much flesh as the problem that was available. So in the bid of wanting to run a good course, you are still running flesh. So flesh is staying at the two ends of the divide, such that every man that wants to run from one portion of flesh, there's another portion of flesh available. So you can run from one place to a pillar to post, but you are still in the confines of flesh. So your only deliverance is to escape. There's a way of escaping the spirit. As long as we remain on the earth, we can never escape flesh. Because flesh is the written code of the earth. Right now, what the world runs on is flesh. So every man, no matter how good you think you are, you can be sincerely running flesh agenda. Sincerely trying to do good, but you are still in the flesh. I'm trying to say this because, you know, in previous weeks, we've been talking about speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And, you know, it is very possible to come to a conclusion that what we are trying to say is that you should just always be excited in the spirit. We are not teaching only excitement in the spirit. Certain demands of the Holy Ghost will bring certain seasons of mourning upon you, but you are still in the spirit. You can deviate into that path and enter flesh again. So we are not saying that you should always be excited, always, oh, I'm down, oh, I'm happy now. I've spoken to myself and then Holy Ghost surges within me. Yes, that is good. But you know, certain psalms, David wrote them while crying. Certain hymns were not written with excitement in the heart. Certain hymns were born from pain, but Holy Ghost was still present. Because the promise of the Lord is not that you will not go through the fire, or that you will not go through the water, but his promise is that I will be with you in the fire and in the water. So I'm not just talking about being excited. I'm talking about maintaining a culture that ensures that you are always spirit-filled. Sometimes you will not be happy. It will not give you the emotion of happiness if you want to keep the culture of the spirit running. Because instructions will come to you that will negate your happiness. That you have to do it with tears in your eyes. But that is how the Holy Ghost is filling you up at that time. So because it's very easy to enter into either divide. It's very easy. You think that, oh, we are getting it here, but before you know it, because the enemy is just waiting for you to just keep pushing in a point until you break into another realm of flesh. If there's anything he has tools of flesh in abundance. They call it wiles. He's a lot. That's why if we are not careful, we can think that we are following the spirit but end up in the flesh. That is why there must be proper guidelines. Guidelines that would make you see that I'm still in the path of the spirit. Now, the Lord showed Rick Joyner, he showed him a vision, and he saw three women in that vision. And the Lord wanted to show him that, who do you think I am closer to amongst these three women? And he showed him the first woman. The Lord went to her and hugged her tightly. He hugged her, comforted her, spoke to her, you know, said a whole lot, stayed there with her for a while. And then he moved to the second woman and, you know, he went to her and just held her hand, something around that, just held her hand. And the third woman, he just greeted her like this. And he said, yeah, George, who do you think I'm closer to? I mean, these three. Naturally, you say it's that woman that she went to hug. You know, sometimes when the Lord hugs you tightly, because if you don't have that hug, something bad can happen to you. And you will not recover. The Lord said, I trust my work in that woman. That I don't need to hug her tightly. She has faith enough to know what I've done inside of her. So sometimes you are having devotion and you don't feel that goosebumps. But you just know that Holy Ghost is here with me. So now every time you'll be having devotion and you've just feel that one presence around you. Oh, sweet Holy Spirit, you are here again. Sometimes he will come with you with rebuke. In your devotion, your heart will be, Kimotunshi again. You'll be under intense weight in your heart that it's like, either you don't love me again. But that is the hallmark of love for you. Because they have worked something inside you that you are not bringing your encounter with the Lord on feelings, but based on what the Lord has said to you. So that man has moved. So a person might be having feelings, but he's not as helped as a man that he has moved away from feelings. When the feeling comes, he's fine. And if he's not there, he's continuing. Obeying the word. Now, I remember back then in school, there was a time that every time I'm reading the scripture like this, you know, I'll be having that warm, hot feeling in my chest. I can stay with scriptures morning till evening. Just sit down, just reading, just enjoying fellowship. And the time now came, I would still open this Bible, nothing. And I, have I sinned? Holy Ghost, what did I do wrong? I didn't do anything now, but they withdrew that thing from me. Because I was addicted to that feeling that this is how Holy Ghost comes. But when they withdrew that from me, I was trying to find around. Holy Ghost, where are you? But he was there. But he did not give me that feeling. So later when I spoke with an elderly person, I said, Holy Ghost is still there, but they want to win you from that thing. That is like milk that you are used to. Just, sweet Holy Spirit. But there will be certain times he will not come like that. Sometimes he has to come with a rod. And one thing we must know is that the adversary wants to secure his work in every man. He will do everything he can do to ensure that his work inside us is not tampered with. We can go around it. He doesn't mind us doing religious activities. He doesn't mind us coming to church. He doesn't mind us even sitting down to hear. But what he is against is that you should touch his work. Because if you touch his work, you have touched him. Because his relevance is tied to his work inside us. As long as his work is intact, everybody around you can call you, that brother is very spiritual. He doesn't mind you having a reputation before men. But as long as God cannot touch that work and detonate it and scatter it, nothing has been done yet. So if you feel goosebumps from today to tomorrow, what spiritual life is supposed to do is to detonate the works that is inside us. So primarily, what they want to do, why they are bringing us into the tipsiness of the Spirit, so that we can yield to them to be able to touch certain works in us. That will lead us to what we call the culture of obedience. All I've said is just to lay a background for this culture. Every one of us must have this culture called the culture of what? Obedience. I said earlier, culture is a way of life, right? And we cannot build a culture without exercises, first of all. What best culture is exercise? Before you can say, this is my culture, you must have used that thing over and over again in little measures before it becomes yours. The work in the course of this world and under the prince of the power of the air has made man disobedient by nature. Life in the spirit is introduced to begin to address the issue of disobedience and to make power and strength available to believers for obedience. Through engagement with the Spirit and being filled, the impossibility and inability to do that which is good and acceptable to God are addressed. The Spirit intoxicates and empowers the believer, enabling obedience and the execution of that which is good, righteous, and the truth for the formation of the nature of obedience within the believer. The power of obedience made available by the Spirit is consistent with all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and it is in this that genuine change, proven and acceptable to God, is made possible. Obedience outside of the Spirit is merely sacrifice, which cannot produce true change. There's something they call zeal without knowledge. there is something that is called a passion, a drive that is not backed by appropriate knowledge that Holy Ghost supplies. And with that, you know, we can see go astray. We can see get it wrong. You know, when your passion is not based on revealed righteousness, you know, a man can be so passionate for souls. Souls are perishing. But he will not win his own soul. So he that saveth a soul. The first soul you can save is your soul. What shows that you are wise is that you are doing everything to ensure that your soul is saved. I think it was Paul that was telling Timothy that take heed first of all to yourselves. Because it is when you take it to yourself that whatever you do to save others is first of all what you have done to save yourself. And because souls are perishing somewhere, you say you are taking yourself to certain places. It is not based on righteousness of what you are learning, of what the Holy Ghost is bringing to you in that season. So don't go and say you just want to go somewhere. Because first of all, salvation is not first of all geological. It's internal first of all. It's internal first of all. Pahegi never came to Africa once. But what he did inside of him has traveled the entire Africa. So you would just go. I'm just saying this. When a man has zeal that is not backed with knowledge. Because really, what we call obedience is also gradual. Obedience is measured. What is the culture of obedience? It is measured. Because there are spirits that are holding territories of disobedience. You cannot confront all of them at once. You must start with the ones you can confront. There are some territories of disobedience in you that you cannot confront the way you are now. Make certain decisions. Your New Year resolution can be that the spirit guiding that disobedience is higher than your current level. So you cannot confront him at that time. So when you come under a parent, they can begin to instruct you. Why? Because imagine the spirit guarding that particular disobedience is like a Goliath. But you have not fought to kill your own bear in the wilderness and your lion that is in the wilderness. But you say it is this Goliath that I must kill. That is a finished story before it started. Because Goliath will chop the head of that guy. The strength that David stood upon was that when I was in the backside of the desert, when nobody was seeing me, I had some victories in my warfare. So there are certain things you cannot just go and face and say, yes, I want to go and face it. No, they must equip you and raise you up for that. Disobedience is not just disobedience. It's not just action. There are spirits, when they say by nature, children of wrath, because spirits are backing up that thing. Let me tell you something. If you exercise yourself in obedience once, there are some spirits that you are being shaken. That go and apologize to your sister is affecting a spirit somewhere. You don't think so? Go and kneel down and say, I'm sorry. Even when you feel you are right, there's a spirit somewhere that shouts. Why is it difficult for you not to go? They are shouting. They are convincing you that, no, you are the wise one here. How dare she do such a thing? You look like a fool now. Who is saying that thing to you? A spirit somewhere is afraid of losing his throne. A spirit somewhere is afraid that if this guy goes, because if you go and apologize, you have removed one of his leg and he's shaking already. He'll be calling for reinforcement. Help me. I don't know what this guy is doing. And another obedience comes and you remove his leg again. Because, see, when you tamper with their work, you know, in fact, your TV, the way you operate the TV is by a remote. They put a trigger on the remote and then there's a sensor and trigger, right? To ensure that what I'm pressing here is happening over there. So I'm not saying that evil spirits have entered you. I'm saying that they just have works inside us. That they can just press. No, that's what we call wine now. That's what we call influence. So they just press it and they know under which circumstances you will respond. You come to church, you hear the message, you hear the word and you are fired up. But when you go out there, they just know certain things to do. You just go and hit the one bus conductor. And that's the person that will just talk shabbily to you. So now, this is what I'm trying to say. Certain things that happen to you is not even based on what happened. They want to train a culture inside of you. They want to instill something. It is the Holy Ghost that can help us, that can retrain a disobedient soul. Because the world will do many things to you, to want to instill things in you. somebody would talk to you anyhow, and you see that somebody responded and that person kept quiet because that person had the right answer, and the person did not pester that person again. But you, that you did not say anything, that person kept coming at you. Okay. And you are like, I must be like this person. It's because I'm quiet. That's why this person is riding me. And before you know it, you've learned something. A nature of disobedience. All those things are trainings of disobedience. Why? They will put you in a corner that you must respond in a particular way. If you don't respond, you'll be dealt with. That's what drains spirit-filled life. Because what they are doing is that they are just pressing remote. How many of you have seen this movie, Matrix? Everybody's an agent. In Matrix, nobody is innocent. How many of you have seen that movie? In Matrix, all of them, it was just like the normal world. The real world is underground. But the whole world that everybody was interacting with was a lie. But when they know that you know that this world is a lie, they will go after you to eliminate you because you are a threat to them. So anybody, your best friend is an agent. Somebody that you hold so dear to you will just begin to say certain things. Why do you think Jesus told Peter? That was an offense to me. At that point, who was doing that work was not Peter. Now look at Peter. Peter was genuinely concerned for Jesus. Some genuine concerns are workings of Satan. So concerned, heart of compassion. You know now, why would you be going through this? But that's Satan at work. Because it is not in alignment with the righteous standard of God for that season of your life. Mannerism of the obedience born by the spirit-filled life. Obedience for wisdom unto that which is good. Romans 16 verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. So, primarily, you know, the culture of obedience or the exercises of obedience that we are learning is to bring us into that state, you know, of being good. You know, no man can come into the state of being good without training of the spirit-filled life. Obedience of the spirit-filled life is neither haphazard nor trial and error. It's not guesswork. But the Spirit imparts to the believer the sense of what is good and the wisdom for its obedience, enabling him to execute what is truly considered good according to God, both by action and inaction in every situation. You cannot learn that which is good outside the teaching of faith. We can never learn that which is good outside the what? Teaching of faith. We have people that have exalted prayer. Prayer is good, but prayer is not a formula that can defeat flesh. Say prayer is good. Say fasting is good. But as good as they are, in isolation, they cannot defeat flesh. What can make a man good is what? The teaching of faith. Faith of the Son, faith of Jesus Christ. That is what can make a man good. That man came to Jesus and said, good master. And said, no man is good, but God. So to find the goodness that is in God, they must deliver certain things to us. They must deliver righteousness of faith to us. How many of you have seen movies that there's a bomb and that bomb has plenty wires? You know, in that movie, you see blue wire, you see red wire, you see different kind of wires. And somebody wants to diffuse that bomb so that it will not blow. Say in real life, if you see that kind of, don't try anything. Just run for your life. Those things are just movie based. Now, in trying to cut the wire that is responsible for triggering the explosion, you can cause that bomb to explode. Because you don't want it to explode. You don't have to cut a particular wire. Now, the person creating that bomb will confuse you with different colors of wire. He's not going to put blue where you think blue should be, or red where red should be. He will put different kind of wire in different places. So when you are trying to see which one is the trigger, which one is not the trigger, you mistakenly go and cut something. Nobody even recognizes you again. Because what you wanted to kill, you just made it to find more expression. Now many of you have been in seasons of your life that you wanted to deal with a particular work of the flesh. But at that time, you began to expand the more. All your methods will fail. You are trying to cut what you make it trigger. But as you are doing it, you are making it into blow up. Because what will really diffuse that thing might not even be around that thing. There's a wisdom of a remote hidden somewhere. That's why they say they found a bomb planted somewhere. But that bomb is a decoy to the real bomb. By the time everybody is busy pursuing this bomb, we've seen the lead to the bomb. They don't know that all those things that they found out was carefully planted by another. So by the time they arrive at a place of where they think the bomb is, that one is already detonating. And they can't do anything again because time has gone. So you're trying to fight flesh. Flesh will even give you formula. Say, you want to win me? Why not fast 3 days? 3 days fast. Somebody says, because I have not fasted enough. That's why some things have not gone. You fast 40 days, but yet you still be in flesh. Because the mechanism of transporting a man from flesh into spirit is not in fasting. It's in the righteousness hidden in the faith of the Son of God. So a man can do many things, can make many resolutions, but he will not change. Because he is unable to diffuse that thing called flesh. Flesh is dangerous. Flesh is wicked. Because the person that did that thing is terribly wicked. He will be the one throwing wisdom at you. This is how to deal with flesh. God must have mercy on us. To detonate flesh in its entirety, to break both the iron and the diamond of flesh, God must help us to find righteousness available for them. There are wisdoms hidden that a man must enter. That's why we can never be tired of hearing and hearing again. As much as that is teaching, all those things that are coming out are wisdoms to detonate those things. Because if we don't stay there, we can say, we are learning for a while and then we withdraw. That thing is like a bacteria. You know how bacteria operates. When you start using antibiotics and you have not killed it to the end, and you say, because I feel fine, I'm okay, and you stop it, that thing will develop a resistance against that drug. So when you want to deal with it, you need something stronger again. There are certain people that all the antibacterial drugs can no longer work for them again because they don't finish it. They use half once they feel fine, well, I'm okay, and they move on. And they feel fine at that particular instance does not mean that they have been healed. That you feel okay and free from certain things does not mean that that thing has gone away from you. That's why we must keep ourselves in the place of continuous hearing. Hearing. Because all they are administering to you are drugs that can take care of that thing. And there are doses. Say there are doses. There's a Sunday dose. There's a hearing again dose. There's 2 times daily. There's 1 time when you're alone. Holy Ghost can wake you up and say, okay, listen to this message. You can just be going through our website. Holy Ghost say, come to this message. Stay on this message. All those things are prescriptions of the Spirit. Because you need enough dosage of life to counter the amount of death you carry on our inside. A believer's action is only considered good when carried out by the wisdom made available by the Spirit. Failure to engage this wisdom of goodness by the Spirit renders the believer's so-called obedience sinful and unacceptable before God. Because there's a difference between being willing and being obedient. It is the Spirit that will make you willing. And it's also the one that will make you obedient. You know, a man can stay in willingness for a long time and he refuses to do. I just saw the story of those 2 sons. The father called them, come and help me do this thing. One was very excited. I will do it. I'm going to do it. He was so willing, but he did not do anything. But the other guy was reluctant because he saw that this thing is work. He was reluctant. I don't want to do it. But eventually, he had willingness and he was able to do. Sometimes, what you are seeing some mighty giants, some mighty issues in your life that, maybe this, if Holy Ghost can just deal with this one for me, then I'm made, I'm okay for the rest of my life. Holy Ghost knows that that is not even your problem. If they can remove that thing from you, it will make rise to another 5,000 things. That will be even much more issues for you. Holy Ghost will now begin to train you from the scratch. Now, it might not look like anything, but he will just tell you that you see that 7 a.m. meeting, ensure that you don't miss it by 7 a.m. It can be as little as that. Obedience. You want to overcome a big work of the flesh. You see, as little as wake up by 5:30 every morning and just engage and do this. And you maintain a consistency in that thing. It might just be even something that he just mentioned, that midweek service, you might be somebody that always comes just only on Sundays. Holy Ghost begins to nudge in your heart. Consider make weekly meetings. But in your own life, how can me committing myself to weekly meetings be a deliverance from something? You don't see the connection. Holy Ghost is just saying, see, I know you are crying, you want to be okay. Okay, just commit yourself to weekly meetings. Say, boy, it's so stressful. I work on the island. People that are there, where do you think they are working? Some of them are coming as far as... Some of them will come here tired, dragging their feet, but as they come here, life will enter them. That sacrifice they've paid to travel that distance, supply something that can bring them into certain dimensions of life. You will never consider that. that can be a tie to something. So when you say obedience, you just be like, oh, they said that we should stop talking. I want to stop talking. Okay, I'll time myself when I want to start talking. Once my alarm rings, I will shut up. You will start talking that when the alarm rings, you should, you don't share. You have it yourself. But what will remove that tendency? Only go just open something in your spirit. Commit yourself to this. And as you just keep obeying it, it's difficult for your flesh. But you say, ah, people that are coming for midweek services, they are also coming from somewhere too now. You come and say, okay, where will I sleep? We are finishing at this time. Wisdom will still come on how to go about it. Because until you start, you will not see the other wisdoms. Some of us, we just want to see the full picture at once. It's when you take the first step that you see the next step to carry. That's how the Holy Ghost operates. Because if you know everything, then where is faith? So there'll be a particular instruction of obedience that will just come out to you. And that might just be what will tie many things together for you. But you have obeyed righteousness from the heart. Romans 6:16-17. Obedience that possesses the power of change must proceed from the whole of the heart. The spirit-filled lifestyle equips the believer to render obedience from a heart once trained in disobedience. Only the spirit can enable a believer to truly obey from the heart. The heart obedience of spirit-filled believer is the righteousness revealed by the spirit. Such obedience is neither the product of mental calculation, nor necessarily approved by men, but is revealed by the spirit and carries the power to transform the soul and cultivate godly nature. So when the Lord wants to recalibrate the heart for obedience, there are certain things the Lord begins to introduce to that heart, which they call righteousness. That's why they say you have obeyed righteousness from where? From the heart. So that means righteousness will visit that heart. A man can be a philanthropist, but he's not obeying righteousness from the heart. A man can do many external things, good when you want to calibrate them, but it is not righteousness from the heart. What you call righteousness from the heart is a beaming of light on that heart. It's not what seems right to man. Man will never, you can never think yourself into that righteousness. Critical thinkers can never find that righteousness. No matter the depth of philosophy that you know, that this man can think deep, your depth cannot access that righteousness. As you are thinking like this, they said there are angels and there's a sword that guides every man's path away from the tree of life. You'll be thinking like this, you're thinking before you know it, they've diverted your thoughts. You will enter certain realms of breakthrough, but it's not realm of the spirit. You break through to something, but it's not the spirit. When you hear certain men say certain things, talking about certain dimensions, they broke into something. They broke into something, but it was not righteousness of faith. It's very fearful to enter certain realms without proper guidance and help of the Holy Ghost. You can enter certain things and it will look as though Bible has opened. Bible has not opened. I met a man that said that he can be on meditation for hours, but he mentioned 22 hours. I was trying to teach the realm of angels, mentioning certain names that was not even in the Bible. Said I entered it through realms of deep meditation. When he's speaking like this, goosebumps everywhere. You see people shaking, dancing. I'm like, hey, my God. When you're in those atmospheres, that is when you know that you can generate certain atmospheres without the Holy Ghost. So if you all we want to base your life on is that it's when you feel certain way that you feel the Holy Ghost, you will miss it. Because certain men have wanted to reproduce that feeling and by that have entered error. You can want to reproduce a feeling. You might want to reproduce an atmosphere. You were doing something, spirit broke out. Does not mean that when you come back the next time, the same thing will happen. And you might want to force it, that it must happen again. And by doing that, spirits are already alert. Your heart is calling them. And they will do something. Somebody will fly and break things here and there. And people will shout. But Holy Ghost has not been present in that meeting. Pahagin said he knew when a man switched from the spirit and began to use familiar spirit. In the same service, Holy Ghost started a process. Familiar spirit ended it. It's not go and come. Same service. He started. I knew when he was operating by the Holy Ghost. But Holy Ghost stopped, but he did not stop. Because he did not stop, he still wanted to generate the atmosphere. And spirits around say, guys, let's help him. And they came to help. And nobody knew something has changed. So it took Pahagin that was in the spirit to say, ah, this man has switched. Righteousness, you can't find it by critical thinking. If you have righteousness, that's mercy that visited you. Mercy of a lifetime. Heaven beamed light on you to show you righteousness of faith. It should be rolling on the floor. Say, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. which is in heaven. No, the Father came that day and showed Peter something. But you know that even Peter didn't know that the Father showed him anything. He felt that he just had a thought. So when you see our parents break into that dimension and they are sustaining it, we should be thanking God for mercy. Because it's not something that visits the earth. It's not something that visits the earth like that. When you see men that can really break into the righteousness of faith and keep it sustained, it's a mercy to a generation. Say, oh, how the depths of the riches of wisdom and knowledge. Say, his ways are past finding out. You can look for it, you will not find it. You can cry for it, it will not come. When they decide to have mercy on you, that they will have mercy on you. To prove that it is when they want to give you that they have given it to us. This is mercy of God, my people. People of God, this is mercy of God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:21. The truth of God which sets free, purifies, and cleanses can only be known and engaged by a Spirit-filled believer. The power to obey the truth is given only by the Spirit. John 8:32 says that if you continue in my word, then are ye my what? And you shall know what? So we can see the Holy Ghost is not just going to give you truth like that, but it's bringing you through a process of continuing in his word so that you can arrive at a place whereby you can know the truth. Knowing the truth is not a day's event. It's a process of continuity in the word. So we must continue in the word to be able to find the truth. And who is responsible for that? They call him the Spirit of Truth. He is the Spirit of Truth, but he cannot start with us on the basis of truth first. He must begin to engage us on the premises of the word at first. And continue in the word before we can break into truth. The truth of God is a scarce treasure that can only be revealed and made available through the Spirit. Any believer who interacts with the truth, carnally or sensually, will neither believe it nor allow its power to work in his life. Ultimately, every believer ought to be framed by the truth constitution of God. The last subheading, which is subjection culture. The subjection can be a culture. The Spirit-filled believer lives under the governance and rulership of the Holy Ghost, bearing his weight and influence as he leads, guides, and orchestrates all dealings in the believer's life. Psalm 32 verse 8, so I'll guide thee with my eye. The Spirit-filled believer is brought under the governance and rulership of the Holy Spirit. He bears the weight of the Spirit who leads and guides him, orchestrating dealings and circumstances around him. The Spirit-filled life is fundamentally characterized by acknowledging the Holy Spirit, who has a voice and many things he desires to say. It is not merely a feeling the believer possesses, nor a sense of satisfaction from engaging in spiritual activities, but a life in which the Holy Ghost can freely interrupt and interject. Willingness and readiness to ask and hear the Holy Ghost are hallmarks of a Spirit-filled believer. He does nothing except he receives the validation and concept of the Holy Ghost. Neither will he proceed where the Spirit withholds approval. The orchestration, workings, and movements of the Holy Spirit are not far-fetched in the life of a Spirit-filled believer. The Holy Spirit orchestrates circumstances and compels the believer to engage in a work of faith in the unseen. The constant filling of the believer is made possible by following the leading and dealings of the Spirit. In every leading and dealing, the Holy Ghost communes with the believer, filling him afresh as the Holy Ghost works. He conditions the believer to engage in every character, proof, attribute, and heart posture that makes the Spirit feel like. So basically, this subjection culture is talking about, you know, being inwardly governed by the Holy Ghost. It's a life that is under governance. When you say governance, that means there's a governor. And, you know, the original word for a governor is not the way we see it today. Being elected into a position and then you have to do things, you know, for the people, by the people, and of the people. You know, a governor is a ruler. It's a ruler that imposes. Now, Holy Ghost will not override your will, but he wants to bring you to that point whereby he can drive you. The Holy Ghost drove Jesus, but Jesus still had his will. The way Holy Ghost painted it to me is that he's at the back seat and we are the ones driving. We are driving. Ah, let me check Google Map. Help me check the Google Map, Holy Ghost. Where is the fastest? Let's go. No. I know this place where. That analogy just brought me to the place that really Holy Ghost wants to be in the driver's seat. He wants to drive you. That driving is that you are under subjection. Sometimes you know the best route, but your best route is subjected to his own driving. Meaning that the wheel of your life is no longer in your hands. You know, it is very funny that, you know, when you engage certain people, you know, 10-year plan, 15-year plan, 20-year plan, that when you enter certain circles and you don't have plan, they are like, they are looking at you that, are you serious? Are you okay? When certain people write out their 20-year plan for you, the way they have planned out 20 years. Christians, the only place that the Holy Ghost has, he cannot interject. He cannot interrupt. If he tries to interject, he will cast him out. Because that thing must be done. If you can think it, you must get it. If you have proposed it, you must achieve it. You must follow it through and ensure that it is done that way. That's why when you begin to enter this path, before they start driving you first, they will first, from outside, start to slow you down, cause traffic. You know, it's just like you see long traffic, but you don't know what's happening in front. By the time you get there, everything is clear. Just be like, say, somebody just stood there and said, all of you are not going anywhere today. You spent 3 hours on the spot. By the time you get there, nothing. Where is this traffic? No, sometimes the Holy Ghost does that to us. Some certain delays, denials, certain, you know, interruptions, just feel like, ah, okay. By the time you go forward, and you cannot really pinpoint why, except the knowledge that it's for salvation. So when they drive you, you will not necessarily go where you want to go anymore. One thing about governorship of the Holy Ghost is that you can no longer go where you want to go. As long as the wheel is in our hands, we are not being governed. When certain things happen and you're, ah, what's happening? We must be able to go back to the Holy Ghost and say, Holy Ghost, what's happening here? And then sometimes he will explain, and sometimes he will just tell you, my grace is sufficient. Why? Because his leadership is not based on your understanding. His leadership is based on where he's taking you to. So even when you don't understand in some periods of your life, he's still working. And, you know, it is that heart that will make you go through your process well. A life of subjection is a life that differs to the Holy Ghost. That even when you have capacity to make certain choices, certain decisions, you can still differ to him. Say, what are you saying? How many of you can build a relationship when you are the only one that always has the final say? One way that I know that you can build a relationship is that you don't always act as though you know everything. Want to build a relationship? I ask Pastor, like, okay, Pastor, what do you think on this? And he shares his heart. Okay, I also share some things that I know. We compare. That thing that we are doing is not only that we are sharing ideas, we are fostering relationship. By engaging, by differing to another person, by hearing what that person has to say, by obeying, all those things, you are fostering something that is doing a work in your heart. That's what governorship is about. Because he has two roles. He's a tutor and a governor. He can teach you but not govern you. A man can be so taught but he's not learning. He's so taught but he's not changing. Because the power of change is in the governorship of the Holy Ghost. When he's teaching you, he also wants to govern you. I mean that he wants to regulate your life. Because certain teachings cannot be done theoretically. They must bring you into the practicality of it. And to do that, they must bring you into certain hedges. That is governorship. Moving you from your comfort zone, bringing you into certain places that you know by yourself that I can't navigate this path myself. That's governorship. That's when he's beginning to govern you from inside. So that everything you are doing, you must have that consciousness of the Holy Ghost. It is from there we cannot begin to differ to him. That's why we cannot afford to go through this lesson and we can go through a day without that acknowledging of the Holy Ghost. That we go through a whole day, 24 hours. When you say, teach us to number, that number is to count our days. And the way they count your day is by how have you profited with it. The profit of a day is tied to the Holy Ghost. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Anytime you don't redeem is a wasted time. Anytime a man spends without the Holy Ghost is a wasted time. Because you are not redeeming the time. And eventually evil will catch up with such a man. So what delivers a man from evil and allows him to continue in the path of righteousness is because he's redeeming the time. All those things they listed below, being filled with the Holy Ghost, is redeeming the time. If you are not drinking the Holy Ghost, you are drinking something else. So it's wine for wine, governorship for governorship. If Holy Ghost is not governing you, something else is governing you. Another governor is somewhere. This is the funny part. We can have so much teachings, but another is governing. We can be taught. In fact, we can repeat it. When it comes to governorship, your thoughts, what is regulating your thoughts? What is regulating your actions? What is regulating your speech is not that which you have known. It's another. Because, see, it is difficult to purge the old wine. It is difficult to pour because a man can be here but still be driven by old wine. Influence of the old wine. And it's another governor. It's another governor. That's why it is tutor and governor. They want to teach you and they want to guide you. See, we guide you into all truth. That one has gone beyond teaching you. It's now guidance. One step after the other. What to do next? What to think next? What to say next? How to align again? They begin to show you one step after the other. That's what they call walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit is governorship. Is that they are showing you what to do. What is the next step to take? How should I react in this situation, even when I don't have understanding? And when everywhere is dark, a song can pop up in your heart. When everywhere is dark, a hymn can come. A song can come. A direction can come. And they said that don't lighten your own darkness. Oh, don't bring light to yourself yet. Stay there singing. Stay there praying. Stay there waiting. Don't try to do something and bring yourself out of it. Because when you do that, you're walking out of the spirit. The truth is that when you begin to learn these things, it does not negate the fact that your common sense has not been taken away. Your natural senses are still there. Instructing you and saying, guy, are you this door? Do this now. Press this button. And you want to press a button. You want to call an uncle and Holy Ghost is holding your hands. You want to enter a particular, Holy Ghost is holding you. You feel that strong restraint, don't go there. You know that if I just do this thing, life will be easier for me. But Holy Ghost is saying, no. And you just stay, just wait. And you don't know that, why is Holy Ghost just restraining me on all sides? Why am I having check here and there? A lot of checks around you. You want to call this person, they say no. You want to do this, they say no. Holy Ghost, allow me now. But at that point where you are, they are governing you at that point. It's governorship. They are regulating you, bringing you into hedges. That you cannot walk beyond this. You cannot do beyond this. You cannot act beyond this. Your job is not going as it ought to go. When you look at yourself, you know that job is not something that you cannot get. You are so fine. Husband is not something that you cannot get. Wife is not your issue. When you go to some meetings, they will tell you that position yourself. The way you position yourself, so that you can be located. They say this person positioned himself to be located. Say you, and you want to begin to position yourself. Only goes, you say, don't help yourself. Don't follow that positioning. Instead, there's another position in the realm of the spirit. Begin to give instructions of what to do. And they begin to beautify it from inside first. Now, what you are doing is that you are defeating a mindset that is telling you that because without a husband, you are nothing. You are aligning to something else. That you are seeing that the hope of my calling is salvation. And I want to build myself to a point that I am aligning to him that has called me. That thing is a shift. It's a shift that every other thing will no longer make sense to you, but just to please him. That him that has called me is opening righteousness to you. That righteousness, you cannot even tell your colleague at work because it is foolishness to them. They cannot understand it. Set instructions around your boss. Honor all men. When everybody's ranting, angry, you are just there. You don't have anything to say. This person is showing you shaky. Say something. And you leave their midst. All those things, they just feel it's normal. You're angry, the person just ran. You express the displeasure in certain ways. But Holy Ghost will come. And he'll say, no, that's not how to do it. Regulating you step by step. How to talk. How to act. In fact, you make some mistakes, he'll come back to you. I say, no, go and apologize. By the time you apologize 3 times, you know that, I can't say this again. As the world is doing things to press evil out of you, Holy Ghost is doing counter things to ensure that righteousness is born forth. So all those regulations is because they want to make you good. They want to bring you to a point. At certain point, my brothers and sisters, you might not be excited, jumping and singing hymns. That hymn might be in a place of tears. That psalm might be in a place of, oh my God, in a place of mourning. David did not write Psalm 51 jumping up and down. It was a place of deep reflection. You know, that's why all our nights must be for reflection. When you are at home in the night, you should reflect. The Lord must help you to think on the day. When you are lying on your bed, you should not be engrossed with the phone. What you sleep on is your phone. Holy Ghost should brood on your heart. That's what should make you sleep. When the Holy Ghost is brooding on your heart, it begins to point out things to you. It's not condemning you, but it's convicting you. That conviction is a place for repentance. It's a place for change. It's a place to show you that next time, do this. Next time, do that. Because he wants to bring us to a place of obedience. But culture of obedience, can we say culture of obedience? Culture of obedience. Start with exercises of obedience. Can we say exercise? Eventually, leads to mastery. When you see a person with full biceps, he did not start one day. Going to the gym. In fact, the first day you go to gym, If you overdo, you have body pain. You'll be crying and you can stop there. Sometimes some obediences will make you face some things. But if you continue, you'll be the better for it. Can we just thank God this morning?
In Jesus' name we've prayed. Thank you so much, Pastor Priest. You know, it's possible to keep hearing words of truth, but it's not potent and it's not looking like truth. Why? Because Satan has fashioned a kind of nature in us that can make truth not to be true. We are actually, you know, in the waters, but we are not wet. We are going through the path, but it's not looking like it. And that is why, you know, a teaching like this, maintaining the spirit-filled life, is very expedient to cultivate nature so that we can bear fruit. Because what determines the fruit of a tree is a tree. And what determines a tree is the nature. So it is very strange for you to see, you know, banana on mango tree, because mango will give birth to mango. So the reason why many of us, you know, our manifestations, our expressions, things that we bring forth, they look contrary to the what we are hearing. Why? Because something is missing. There is a missing link. We come to church, we are hearing so much, you know, but you will see that it's as if a lot of labor is being done, but there is little we can account for. Why? Because there is a missing link. And what is the missing link is maintaining spirit-filled life. Because without it, there is no way nature can be cultivated. As long as nature is not cultivated, you will rise today, you will fall tomorrow. And you can continue Christianity for another 30 years, rising up today, falling tomorrow. That's why we so thank God for the blessing of this particular series, you know, maintaining spirit-filled life. And I'd just like to say, you know, a few things that he has said, just to reiterate. When introducing the lesson, something that is in the manual, it says, when genuine change does not back the spirit-filled lifestyle of a believer, spokenness and eccentric behavior becomes inevitable. And that's why you see some people, good believers, can even mean well. But the wicked work in us is not moved by you meaning well. And that's why you see, you know, have you seen some prayer postures before? But the same persons taking different prayer postures, they are very mean. They can easily share their things. They are very judgmental. A sister, you use lipstick, you are going to hell. You will now see the contradiction. You can't correlate the intensity and the zeal. Pastor Press call it zeal. You can't correlate it with what they are producing. And that is why a believer can mean well. But you see, sin is higher than you meaning well. Because as Pastor Prey said, you know, one hand is sin. The other one is actually still flesh. So when you run from pillar to post, it's still flesh. Because it has the good, it has the evil. It's the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. So when you are running to and fro of it, you are still within its compound. And that is why what God wants to deal with is actually the nature. That nature that is producing that thing, that is producing, you know, those works. That's what God wants to confront. But there is no way God can confront it if you are not maintaining a spirit-filled life. God has come to supply the missing link. Another thing I would like to point out says a spirit-filled life without continuous repentance and obedience is merely a form of godliness without the power of what? True change. Say there is a power of true change. You see, the power of true change is not in your determination. There is a way Satan has lied to us that if you are well determined, you can do New Year resolution, as Pastor Prey said. But after the first quarter, you've already been cut into half. That you just go back that, okay, maybe let me just wait till another January. And before you know it, sir, 5 years have gone. That same works of the flesh, you've not overcome it. When we maintain spirit-filled life, what happens is that every linking vessel, you know, is being worked on. You know, Holy Ghost at new birth, the infilling of the Spirit by the Holy Ghost in our spirit is the Holy Ghost living in our spirit. Now, that is not the hand of the Holy Ghost. That is not the hand or the total work of the Holy Ghost. Really, Holy Ghost wants to move his load from our spirit after filling that spirit with the nature, because that was instantaneous. He now wants to teach the soul. He wants to teach the soul how to live the life of the spirit. So when you hear in the book of Galatians chapter 5, that if you live in the spirit, also walk in the spirit, Holy Ghost wants to move those materials that are of its nature. He wants to move those substances into our soul, so that what the soul will begin to produce as fruit, they will be stemming from the nature of the Holy Ghost. It's the nature of the spirit. So maintaining spirit-filled life is that the soul as a cup needs to be filled with materials, substances for nature formation. And obedience is a major one that we are taking today. So you know the essence of obedience. So when you are being instructed by the Holy Ghost, he's bringing material. You see, every instruction is a material for your building. It's a material for your nature change. It may look weak. It may look small. But that thing is a material. The Holy Ghost wants to move the material. Hallelujah. You know, when the scripture says that grieve not the spirit, you know the Holy Spirit is tender. When you have that lion nature, that we don't grieve for anybody. There are natures that, you know, Satan has wrought in men. There are even environmental natures. You see, all those nature, family nature, in my family, we don't agree. You see, those evil natures, what is responsible for them as a result of materials of many years. So when you have desolation of many generations, they are talking of materials that have been passed across from one generation to the other. Every instruction is a material supply for nature change. So is it that instruction of go and apologize? Say you are sorry, they've given you a material. If only you can obey it. What happened is that you've been added to. Holy Ghost have been able to move a material into your soul. And you see, that is how you maintain spirit-filled life. So you maintain spirit-filled life for obedience. And obedience help you to also maintain what? Spirit-filled life. You know, another thing that is considered is a believer's action is only considered good when carried out by the wisdom made available by the Spirit. You know, as much as it's good to be firm, you also need to know when to be tender. That flexibility is with the Holy Ghost. And it's a wisdom that we must continually fetch. You know, at times there is a way you can just be stereotype in trying to defend righteousness. But you can defend righteousness, but you've destroyed souls. And that is why, for instance, we've agreed, three sisters staying in a room, we've agreed that when we come back, our shoes should be outside. But this sister is sincerely exhausted, very tired. Just remove the what? The shoe and rest on the bed till tomorrow morning. You know, there's a way you can keep complaining about that thing for another 1 year. You are the one not changing. The sister is changing. You know, husband and wife, there are things that we complain about our spouse. They may be changing. But you, headmaster, you are the one not changing. So that wisdom must be fetched by the Holy Ghost. So you carrying that shoe and putting it in the right place is a wisdom of righteousness. And that thing is not even just to make the room okay, to smell nice, but really it's for your own soul. What is happening is that they are moving material of tenderness, of being able to do love work. They are moving that material into your soul. When you do it over time, it will become a nature. So obedience is a material for that nature change. So it helps us to maintain spirit-filled life. You are just being taught by the Holy Ghost, but you are not being governed by him. What happened is that you have big head but small heart. Can I take it, say that? And when you have big head and small heart, that is not the essence of being taught. That's why, you know, I can remember, I used to have one particular captain, you know, in primary school. This guy, we noticed that he does not read all the textbook, but sir, he's always topping the class. What happened? He actually had good relationship with the teachers. Very friendly, wonderful. So in the place of engaging them, interacting with them, based on what, you know, they've taught us in the class and all that, they're already telling him what he should look for in exam, how to answer questions. You know, when they bring this guy, you see 90 plus, you see, what is happening? But we have to read a lot. It took me like 2 years. I became his friend though. So the essence of teaching you is that they want to show you how to get things done. But many of us, we receive teaching from the Holy Ghost, as Pastor Prey said, but we don't want to be governed by him. So you still fail when the time of you passing that thing, when it comes. So it as if we have so much knowledge, but less power. Why? Because he that has the power, we are far from him when the time to engage the power comes. And that is why, you know, lastly, the place of subjection culture. We won't be able to do much with the Holy Ghost until we hand to him totally. We have to hand over to him totally to lead us, to guide us. That is where the strength of our nature change lies. If you live in the Spirit, also what? Walk in the Spirit. It takes the Holy Ghost, you know, taking us by hand to walk us through. That is when our what? Our soul can receive the filling of the Spirit nature that can change the nature in our soul. And that is when we can bear fruit unto righteousness. Hallelujah. Can we respond to the Lord this morning? That will not just hear these words. That the Lord will show us mercy. Even to hand over totally to the Holy Ghost. Not just to know him as a person, but also to engage him. To be governed by him. To be led by him. To be taught by him. To be led by him. In the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.